Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
Sure is.
Today we're going to be talking about the ninth and final serial of the fourth season of Doctor Who, The Evil of the Daleks, which consists of seven episodes that aired from May 20th, 1967 to July 1st, 1967. All of those are missing except for episode two. Episode two still exists.
True facts!
And today we have a returning guest, but her first, like, solo appearance. She was on the Christmas special. She's watching through Classic Who on her own, on her blog, which is it Malice Rewatches or just Malice Watches? I can never remember.
Malice Rewatches. I'm rewatching it.
Yeah, I'll let you talk about it, but it's Melissa!
Yay!
Woo!
How far are you currently?
Oh god, I slowed down way, way down.
I know, I thought you were gonna pass us.
I just finished in my own rewatch, The Ark, so I'm up to, I think it's The Savages now? Yay! Woohoo. I remember not liking that one very much.
I was going to say, I was trying to remember anything that happened in The Savages, and I'm blanking.
Oh, that's the one where Steven leaves.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of a mess,
isn't it? They steal the life energy of people.
Okay. It's coming back to me. We're far enough in that I'm forgetting stuff.
It was a long time ago for you.
So it's Malice Rewatches, DoctorWho.tumblr.com?
Yep.
All right. So everybody should go there. I don't know if you noticed, but I like every single one of your posts.
No, I did notice. You're like the only one that does. Thank you.
I'm your biggest fan.
Yay.
You're our biggest fan, too. So,
I think
like, so. Yeah.
I think that's fair to say. If anyone wants to fight.
Yeah, you've got, like, first patron, highest patron, and long time patron.
Yeah, I like started being a patron as soon as you put it up, which is odd.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
So Evil of the Daleks. Episode 1.
Evil of the Daleks. Episode 1, a study in sideburns.
Number 2, a study in beads.
I felt like this episode had a lot of Sherlock vibes. Because the doctor finds
a lot of
clues,
yeah.
And there's also that one guy with very big sideburns.
They're very impressive sideburns.
They're very Victorian sideburns.
I wonder why.
I wonder why he looks so Victorian.
The handsome cab part didn't, like, totally give it away.
Or his collection of
Victorian
stuff. Yeah.
So this episode opens at the airport, it's weird that, like, we have an episode end and they sort of haven't gotten back to the TARDIS yet. And yeah. It's like, oh yeah, we gotta find it. We don't know where it is.
There's more carryover than there usually is.
I like the, Jamie, we've lost the TARDIS.
I like Jamie and the Doctor. It's cool that they're getting to hang out a little bit just one-on-one, just them two.
My first, like, the top thing at my page of notes just says dating.
That's why Jamie, too, is, like, one of the biggest ships.
I get
it, though, because Joe's like, you totally ship them, don't you? And I'm like, it's not that I ship them, it's just that there's something about them that's inherently coupley. They seem married.
Yeah, like, and it didn't take long for that to set in, either.
No.
Like, maybe a serial or two, and then boom, it's there.
I swear, those two can't keep their hands off of each other.
And later on, stuff will happen where it's like,
their first fight.
Yeah.
I had that aww moment.
It's very tragic, but you know, it'll be fine. Their relationship can stand this. So, Jamie and the Doctor are looking for the TARDIS, and we get one of my favorite quotes.
Oh, when they show up at, like, this junkyard, right? Is that where it is at?
I don't...
Sure.
Sure, yeah, sure.
I think it's a salvage yard.
It's wherever they've taken the TARDIS.
And Jamie's asking about it. Jamie's like, where's the TARDIS? The guy who's working there at the salvage yard is like, I don't know what that is. Is that, like, some sort of foreign word? And the doctor's like, yeah, TARDIS is a Gaelic word. Which I, like, immediately went and found it somewhere online so I could show it to Seamus.
Yeah, he was on the Highlanders episode. Because he knows Gaelic a bit.
And I think last time we had him on, he's like, he's always in favor of there being more Gaelic on Doctor Who.
And now there's fake Gaelic, which is TARDIS. He, like, on Tumblr, he, like, sort of broke it down. It's like, it couldn't be a
Gaelic word, because it's not, he knows a lot more about linguistics than I do. I didn't understand the post at all.
Doesn't sound very Gaelic.
No, but probably it sounds Gaelic enough to some unintelligent person. Like myself.
Someone who has never heard any of the language before.
I'm pretty much only comfortable with English. I know nothing else. And even that I'm dicey with.
You have a limited hold on English. So they're talking with this man, and they're trying to figure out what happened to the TARDIS, where it got taken.
There's like a dude listening in.
Yeah, there's somebody spying on them.
First episode's like this spy mystery episode.
It's really weird. It feels like, I don't know, like they're like, oh, we have to start this in the 80s because we're in the 80s.
And they don't have the TARDIS, so...
Yeah, and then it quickly goes like, well, it's a Victorian thing. It just seems like it would have been simpler to just...
Take the TARDIS take to Victorian time.
I thought that it was 1966.
Did you say 80s?
I said 80s. I don't know.
haven't even gotten to the 80s yet.
I don't know.
We're still stuck in the 60s, man.
Joe just really likes the 80s.
I just brain farted really bad. Yeah, sorry. It starts off with them in the 60s. And then they jump to, like, I feel like it would have been just easier to just start.
It also makes that airport seem like a really ridiculously, like, important point in time and space. What all was happening in that day? Like, you had the war machines, and then you have
the chameleons,
and then you have the Daleks. Like, that's a lot going on for one airport.
Well, I don't feel like, I don't think the war machines were at that airport.
But it was Gatwick Airport, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the chameleons were at the airport, but the war machines were somewhere else. It was the same day. Yeah, it was the same day, but it is a little crowded with Doctor Who villains.
The airports are just not doing very well that day.
It's a bad day for Earth. Bad day for the Doctor. And then, the guy at the junkyard salvage place says something about the TARDIS was brought in by someone named... Jay Smith. Tony was like, did the TARDIS do that? Did it just use the Doctor's alias? Is that what you said?
That's not what I said.
I thought that's what you said.
No.
Oh.
Smart TARDIS.
Well, I guess that's what I thought and thought you said. I don't know. But yeah, it uses Jay Smith, which is... Is that the first use of John Smith?
No, I don't think so.
Because One's used it.
Okay. And then this is when the Sherlock stuff happens.
Yeah, so what all is set up?
There's a lot of weird clues.
There's like a thing of matches.
Oh, the matches on the 2-bit criminal guy that was just in it for the money.
Because, like, the salvage yard guy and the guy listening in were both, like, they were like a team, right?
Yeah.
Like a criminal team.
It gets weird.
One of them was, like enlisted to, like, kidnap Jamie and the Doctor, and the guy's like, well, I'm not gonna do that. And so he tries to leave, and he gets knocked out.
Yeah, by the other guy. They put all the clues there and stuff on purpose so that the Doctor would find them and make these assumptions so that he would get there.
Which it's very sort of convoluted, because they plant all these clues so that he'll go to this coffee bar, which is like made like a specific point that it's a coffee bar and not a coffee shop. They say it like 3 or 4 different times.
What
like,
is
it's
the a coffee difference? Bar.
Alcohol, I guess?
I don't know. It may be a British thing.
It
looked like a diner.
Jamie was checking out every girl there's legs.
I did not notice that, no.
He was totally checking out all the girls in the Doctor's presence.
How dare he?
That's so rude. But yeah, they like leave all these clues to like drag him to this coffee shop. And all that happens at the coffee shop is they're like, hey, you should go to this other guy's house.
At like 8 o'clock, yeah.
So it's like, that's an awful convoluted way to... Why didn't you lead the clues to lead him to the guy's house?
They gotta fill time.
Right? This is 7 episodes.
I like the quote, how the guy would have to wait a very long time because the Doctor is notorious for being late. And then he ends up showing up like an hour early.
Because they tell him the Doctor be there at 8, and then he shows up.
He shows up at like 7, because he's like, it's easier for me to figure out what's going on here, for realsies.
And they sneak in, and like, Jamie's like, what are we doing here?
The Doctor's like, Jamie, shut up.
And he continues.
We're sneaking around, and he's like, what? Sneaking?
He continues to be so loud this entire scene. But it's still, they don't get caught, so I guess everybody else is just kind of bad at this.
Especially Jamie. Jamie's not meant for it. I mean, he goes around wearing a kilt, come on.
That is very conspicuous.
So the house that they're taking him to belongs to this, like, because they're still in the 60s at this point. Which is, you know, a thing that makes sense. Unlike what happens later when everything starts to fall apart. He's like a collector, and he has a lot of Victorian pieces. And
it's an antiques shop.
Yes.
Yeah, but all of the antiques are genuine, but they brand don't new. Look. Yeah, but they don't look old.
They're genuine, brand new antiques.
Which is something that Jamie comments on. And he's like, "You noticed that, did you?" Jamie's like, "Yes. I'm not stupid. I don't know. I like that exchange where the doctor's like, hey, look at you noticing things." And Jamie's like, yeah, obviously.
So, okay, that's a clue that the guy's from Victorian era.
Right.
But does that mean that when the Daleks brought him there, they're just like, bring some of your shit along? Like,
I don't know, because the way that the time travel works, it seemed like there was just like a, I mean, it's hard to tell because it doesn't exist. It happens in an episode that doesn't exist, but it seemed the method of time travel wasn't exactly clear. If it was like the whole house, just kind of.
I don't think it was the whole house. It was the machine that they were using.
When they have that thing about it's all real, but
that's in episode two.
Wow, I thought that was nowish. I'm terrible at this. So wait, when does episode one end?
Episode one ends with a Dalek, and that's all I remember.
There's a hidden room at the antique store. The Victorian guy's setting everything up for it. But then
that has the time machine.
Yeah.
That's what it is. The time machine is a whole room.
It looks like the device itself is in the room, but it looks like two staplers, giant staplers side by side.
Yeah.
The guy with the sideburns. What's his name?
Waterfield.
Waterfield. Yes, thank you. He locks the door and everything, but like Kennedy is the guy that was watching them and like hit the other guy over the head.
He's less sketchy.
The less trustworthy of the criminals. He like starts stealing stuff from the antique store, finds a key, opens the hidden room, goes in there, and that's when the Dalek shows up and kills.
Because he thinks he's gonna like steal something good.
He thinks something real good's hidden in there. Real good. Yeah.
But it's not. It's a Dalek.
So that's what begins episode two, which I'm calling Who Shot Kennedy?
But we know. But we know.
Is that a bad title for that episode?
It's not great.
It's because they set him up so it looks like he was shot. They place his body around with the picture of the doctor in his hand. Is that what happened? Half a picture?
Or was it Jamie's picture? No, it was the doctor's, because Jamie's is still whole later on.
And they put half of the picture of the doctor in this box that's in between the two giant stapler machines. The stapler time device. Well, he doesn't
get shot until the beginning of episode two, because I have a note that says, Kennedy gets dead.
He does that.
I also have a note that says, Dalek theme.
Like, when the Dalek shows up, it has a new music thing.
Yeah, it's
really good.
Very rarely used.
I love it. It's a shame.
It's a really good piece of music.
It is a really good piece of music. That's what I was, like I said, the last one I did was the Ark, and they played the Dalek music, like, all the way through it, and it did not make sense with the rest of the story. And this is a Dalek story, 7 parts, and they rarely use it.
But every time they do, though, you're just like, oh, yes.
I feel like it sounds similar to the theme song, but, like, evil.
Yeah, which is perfect.
Yeah.
Daleks, the evil Doctor Who theme song.
Yeah, because instead of, like, da-da-da-da, da-da-da, it's like, da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. I don't know,
it's very foreboding.
But it was more like, dun-dun-dun.
it's very evil. But they have that box that has the Doctor's picture in it, and then, like, Jamie's like, hey, look, your picture. And the Doctor's like, don't open that. And then it's a box
smoke.
Full of smoke.
Yeah, smoke pours out of the box, and it's toxic smoke.
And they fall over. Passed out.
And wake up with Molly.
I love Molly.
I love Molly too.
So they wake up and it's Victorian era.
They have time traveled without the use of the TARDIS.
And there was this line that like was not intentionally a line. But like the Doctor wakes up and he's very confused. But Molly's there, who's the servant or whatever. I think she's
Ruth's maid.
He says something about, like, where am I, and blah, 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 blah. And she says, like, something about the master will be coming or whatever. And he goes, the master? At the same time I did, because I was making a joke.
It shocked him so bad.
I was like, oh, you both said the master.
Which is hilarious, since he hasn't even been introduced yet.
He's not exactly. He's not even an idea at this point.
Like, I mean, in the last serial, they had all the stuff with chameleons. And it was, like, so weird. Like, they kept talking about chameleons, but they're not talking about the chameleon circuit at all. But, like, you still have that sort of, like, you know. Or for another example, the Doctor uses a screwdriver in this serial, but it's not the screwdriver.
It's not Sonic.
Yeah, it's just a screwdriver. He used one in the last serial, too.
He likes his screwdrivers. This is why he made a Sonic one.
Because he just likes screwdrivers?
He builds things.
He's like, you know what would be better if this was Sonic?
He just had to put up all those shelves.
I don't know, this guy comes in, he's got, like, really typical mad scientist hair and glasses.
Oh, God, that beard.
Yes.
An amazing beard.
And his name's Theodore Maxtable.
Which I just have, like, called him Max anytime I've, like, referred to him in anything.
So did I.
I don't think I ever referred to him as Theodore.
No, me either. I think they just said it once, but, like, the rest of the time it's Maxtable or Max.
Well, I don't think they ever call him Max.
No, but they call him Maxtable more than they do Theodore.
Yeah.
That happens a lot, though. Like, they'll use last names rather than first names, because they call Waterfield Waterfield, and that's his last name.
Yeah, and Victoria is also Waterfield, and everyone calls her Victoria.
When they were like, we're in the Victorian era, and, like, my daughter's been kidnapped, my daughter Victoria, I was like, that is so lazy. That had to be just the first thing that popped into your head, that you were like, yeah, okay, the girl from the Victorian era's name is Victoria. Done.
There's this, like, weird plot point that I don't think ever pays off of. There's this giant painting of Waterfield's wife, who's, I think she's passed away. She's way dead. But, like, everybody's like, Victoria looks just like her. Like, it's mentioned at least twice.
Oh, my, it makes no sense. Who cares?
It's like, why?
Right. There's
why can't it just be a painting of his daughter? Why you gotta make this whole big thing about how she looks like her mom?
I hate when people do that in shows. It makes no sense. Why does she have to be the spitting image of her mother? Doesn't matter.
It really literally affects the plot in no way.
None whatsoever.
So the deal that we kind of learn a little bit over the series of the next couple of scenes, we have Max, who is a scientist, and he has a daughter.
Wait, he has a daughter?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ruth. Ruth is Maxtable's daughter.
Right, Ruth Maxtable.
And he's been helping Sideburns.
Waterfield.
Waterfield, thank you. He's been helping Waterfield, whose daughter was kidnapped by the Daleks, and that's why Waterfield has been helping them. He doesn't really have a choice.
Because he wants his daughter back.
Max says he doesn't have a choice, but we'll learn how super sketchy he is. God, his character and his choices just made me so angry.
I liked him in some episodes because he's just mad, crazy, and so just villainous.
Mad Maxtable?
Mad Maxtable.
Stupid. They cut away to, like, Victoria being held by the Daleks.
And she's, like, a stereotypical, like, Disney princess feeding the birds. And
it's her fighting the power, man, I swear. She was given a direct order by the Daleks to feed herself and forget the birds. And she feeds the birds and forgets herself.
It's true, because, like, they weigh her. And they're like, you're not fat enough!
Wait, I've really got to talk about this scene, because they weigh her, but, like, that's not immediately apparent that that's what's going on. They're like, get in the machine! And she does, and she's like, ah, and it's giving her a headache, and, like, it's hurting her, and you're like, what are they doing? And then, like, a number pops up on a screen, and they're like, you haven't been eating enough.
I said something about, looks like that she's losing as a contestant on The Biggest Loser.
I don't understand why Dalek scales require, like, so much pain.
Also,
was it doing something else?
Why are they trying to fatten her up?
I think it might have been the sound of it.
I've got a scale, and I just sort of stand on it, and it's fine.
But it's not a Sonic scale, is it?
Not to my knowledge, no. But I think that's better. I think it's better this way. I feel like they've really overcomplicated the design here. Just a little bit.
Yeah, but think about it. It's got to be big enough for Dalek to get into. Why Dalek would weigh itself is beyond me.
Daleks have a lot of issues with body image.
Well, everybody keeps calling them pepper pots. All they have to do is design a different shaped casing.
Wait, did they do that for the black Daleks? They looked whiter.
They might have.
Yeah, the newer Daleks that happened later are white, and the like older ones are black, which is some unfortunate symbolism there.
Yeah.
Nice going.
I mean, not to mention there is going to be some slightly unfortunate stuff happening later in this episode.
That's kind of the sound I made when it happened. I was like, ah.
Yeah.
We'll say it's not as bad as it could have been, but it's still not great.
Yeah, it does end up leading to some cuter stuff. There's a scene that I think we kind of glossed over that I liked.
What's that?
Which is when all of the information we just covered about the Daleks and kidnapping the daughter and now they're helping the Daleks and all that stuff. Max is like being kind of cagey about it.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah, I'll tell you what's going on. And then like starts like monologuing about something else. And the doctor's like, no, but really, what's going on? Maxwell's like, would you let me explain? And the doctor's like, please do. That's literally what I've been trying to make you do this whole time. And then we kind of get all the exposition that he gives us.
Which is...
But it was a cute scene.
There was like time travel with mirrors and static.
The static thing really makes me mad. Maxible's a scientist. He's been trying to do time travel shit with mirrors and electricity. I didn't understand it because, truthfully, it doesn't make any sense.
Victorian era, hello.
But they're like, first we use positive electricity, then we use negative electricity, and neither of those worked, so then we tried static electricity. Like, it's a totally separate, neutral thing.
I feel like they tried one type of electricity, positive and negatively, then they moved to static electricity.
But that's not...
Static electricity have to be positively or negatively charged, I know.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I mean...
That's why static electricity exists, is because something has become slightly charged. What I'm saying is it doesn't make sense, and it irritated me.
Yeah, but it's the Daleks.
That is your, like, big clue that a Dalek is involved. You know, except for the fact that it's called the evil of the Daleks, and it's obvious that the Daleks are involved.
That really annoyed me. It, like, totally gives away the entire thing that Daleks is in the title. And they always do that. They still do that.
They're like, who could this villain be on this episode, Daleks of the Daleks? We don't know! We just don't know.
It's a mystery.
It'd be hilarious if they did an episode that was, like, blank of the Daleks, and there's just zero Daleks. The entire episode.
It's chameleons.
That are war machines.
Just the Cybermen. You're like, what? Why? So, yeah, the Daleks show up and, like, we have your TARDIS, and we want the doctor to do tests on Jamie.
On Jamie. Which Jamie is not... Where is Jamie? Why isn't he there?
Jamie's still asleep.
He's still unconscious from the gas, and later is getting knocked out. Jamie can't win this episode.
He's not doing well.
So they're like telling the doctor they wanted him to do this test, but he has this great line where he's like, I'm not a slave.
Will not be your slave. Yeah, it's great. It's an excellent bit of acting, as but you would expect.
But he's like, why don't you just take me instead of Jamie? And they're like, we want Jamie because we want the human element.
And they're like, well, this place is full of humans. And the docs are like, yeah, but he's special because he's traveled in time. Which doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it was, he wasn't, he's more than human because he's traveled too much in time.
Well, that's why they don't want the doctor. But they want Jamie because he's traveled, like, just the right amount.
With the doc, because he's brave and all that jazz.
I guess.
I think it's because he's actually human. They just couldn't say that.
But I mean, they're on Earth.
There are other humans, yeah.
True, but they're all from the Victorian era.
They want Jamie specifically because he's been under the doctor's tutelage.
I'm saying it's not written very solidly to be like, yeah, that's why they need Jamie. It's kind of like, okay.
Fair.
That's fine.
I know. If they were going to use someone who had just time traveled, they could have used Waterfield.
It's very sort of loose is my, like, only complaint
there.
They
probably don't want Waterfield because he's an old dude. They don't want women because they're sexist. And Jamie's the only young dude in the show so far.
All right, that's fine.
Yeah, but none of the women in this episode have time travel at all at this point.
Yet.
Yet.
So Jamie wakes up.
And Molly's there.
Molly.
And lots of flirting happens. She's flirting so hard. It was great. It was fun.
It's cute. I'm so glad Molly survived.
And then the scene sort of falls apart.
Because then there's a guy hiding in there.
Which he's hiding and he just sort of like throws this curtain half in front of him. but not enough to, like, actually cover him. But it's fine.
The whole, you can't see me because I'm hiding behind something, even if I am visible to everybody else.
Oh, that thing. That old trope. I love it.
It's great.
I'm hiding even though you're looking directly at me. Jamie gets knocked out by this guy.
Does he even have a name? Toby, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Toby.
I have his name written under 3 question marks, because like I said, that scene happened, and I'm like, wait, slow down. Why is anyone even kidnapping him again? A second time?
I did not get that.
Still not certain.
I don't know, because like, Molly comes back, gets, I don't know, chloroformed or something.
Yeah, she gets knocked unconscious.
They all come in and find, they come to get Jamie, but Jamie's gone. To get Jamie for the testing.
To do experiments, yeah.
And then Jamie's gone. And that's the end of episode 2, Who Shot Kennedy, which, that's not even relevant. Episode 3, The Human Factor. Yeah, so then, like, they immediately find, like, Jamie, so it's like...
So it's fine, and that was pretty pointless.
Two-bit thief Toby left some hay on the ground. Which kind of says, oh, he's in the barn!
To this guy, Arthur, who we've seen before, but...
Terrell.
It's spelled Terrell, but it's pronounced Terrell.
I forget how it's pronounced, and then I just, like, I'm gonna guess. I'm gonna take a wild stab. Terrell, yeah.
I don't even remember why he was there, what happened. He was just being very odd.
He had, like, a headache, and then he's like, well, where am I?
What's going on?
And then
he's,
like, turns into a dick.
The guy who kidnapped Jamie was like, you told me to do this. And he's like, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, well, you're not getting out of paying me.
Was it a half guinea?
Like, he gives him money, but not enough money.
The whole scene didn't make much sense.
No, I still don't know why Terrell wanted him kidnapped in the first place. Unless it was for him to escape that, but the experiment hasn't even started yet.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense that they're telling the doctor, we want Jamie.
Go get him.
We want to do experiments on him. But at the same time, they've sent this other guy to kidnap Jamie.
Like, just in case the doctor wouldn't do it?
Yeah, I don't know. It makes no sense.
Then unfortunate things start happening.
Oh, before we get to that, though, Jamie overhears the doctor being like, yeah, Jamie will do whatever I say. And, like, Jamie's, like, getting grumpy about it.
Jamie's like, what the hell does that mean?
Oh, hell no. I swear they have, like, 2 fights in this serial, and it's about the exact same thing.
Yeah, it was sad.
I feel like it's kind of justified. The doctor's being kind of a jerk.
He's being sketchy. He's definitely being sketchy, and he's
totally hiding things while being totally honest.
There's like a scene later where he completely manipulates Jamie into doing what he wants him to do, and I was not pleased.
When people talk about like the doctor and like his dark side and being manipulative and stuff, that was like totally an example of that, of how just sort of devious he can be.
And he does it to Jamie.
Which is the worst, which breaks my heart.
Poor Jamie.
Jamie doesn't deserve this. Jamie's precious, and he deserves to be protected.
So, you want to talk about Kimmel? Okay, here's the thing. I like Kimmel. I do.
He's
but
sweet.
But it's such an unfortunate...
The way that the scene starts is really gross.
This first episode with him is shocking. I like the other ones.
Yeah, I like pretty much everyone after what, you know, when he switches sides. Spoilers. From there until, you know... What happens to him?
Oh god, I hated that so much.
This serial's pretty good, but it does some stuff that's like, come on.
Yeah, you're better than that. Come on.
Maxtable brings him in. He's like, look at, he's a strong man.
Yeah.
He doesn't talk.
Maxtable's introducing him to the Daleks like, hey, you're going to be super impressed by this. Look what I found. And it's like, by the way, he's like, I don't know how to say this. He's like really dumb, you guys. Like, really, really, really dumb.
He's, like, super strong, but stupid as anything.
But he's, like, gonna tell him, like, you're going to guard this door, and if this guy comes by, you have to stop him. And that guy, and he shows him a picture of Jamie. Like, and there's, like, this trap door.
The trap door that makes no sense.
But this...
No!
I think it does make sense.
It makes sense as, like... A part of an experiment test where you want the test subject to get through.
Yes, but the point was that they're trying to test him as, like, the best he is. That's not doing that. That's kind of half-assing it.
So the deal with this door is that it, first of all, it's, like, sort of hidden in the wall, like most good trap doors are. And once you actually open it, you have these big deadly spikes that drop down. Just enough, they stop just short of, like, a body's width from the floor.
So you can sneak under it if you want to. But I feel it's like they don't want to damage the floors.
You think that's why that choice was
made?
They don't
want the spikes to hit and damage that nice woodwork.
Why not just go down far enough to almost, but not quite, touch the ground?
Or shoot upwards.
Yeah, but then there'd be holes in the ground to show that they're there.
You probably have to, it'd probably be a little more complicated, and then it's probably easier to drop something than to, like, shoot something up, especially in Victorian era.
Yeah, but notice that there's also a switch to actually move them back up.
On the wrong side.
Which means kind of putting your arms through the thing to click it. But what's the point of that switch if it doesn't go all the way down? You could just sneak under that goddamn thing. Kel could sneak under that thing, and he's huge.
And it's not even like Jamie, like, avoids it because he's smart. He avoids it because a bird flies out at him. He's like, oh, what's that? And then the spikes
fall. And then the spikes fall.
It's like, phew. That was a close one. Because the whole thing is, the doctor is recording Jamie's
emotions
and stuff. His essence.
What makes Jamie Jamie? Of course, the doctor would record this.
But he's recording it for the Daleks, so the Daleks can have this human factor that's going to make them unstoppable. They're going to send him through this haunted house of booby traps. And so after they talk him into...
They have their fight.
Yeah, they have their fight about, like, Jamie's like, you don't control me, blah, blah, blah.
Jamie confronts the doctor and says, you know, like, I overheard you.
You're working with the bad guys.
You're working with the Daleks. What's up? That's not cool. And this is when the doctor gets very devious.
He totally manipulates the hell out of Jamie.
He's like, fine, like, whatever you do, just don't go save their Victoria. Daughter, because you'll ruin all my plans.
Yeah, don't go on a one-man mission and save her on your own.
Which is what the Daleks want. Yeah. That's how they're getting that human factor out of him.
He doesn't start off alone, though. Molly. She's living in a haunted house and is like, I don't care that place is haunted. Who cares about that? And it's like, everybody else has already left. I'm staying. And starts showing Jamie through the house.
She shows him the house plans, too. Like, the blueprints.
Yeah.
So that he can know where to go.
I have, for the beginning of episode 4, my notes say, Toby is a dick, but it's okay. A Dalek kills him.
Yes. He's the one that wanted the half guinea. He whacks Terrell over the head and steals his key to the lab.
Then he gets exterminated for it. Because he's stealing stuff from the Dalek. Well, from Maxtable's lab.
Where was the doctor in that scene? Shouldn't he have been in the lab?
He was in a separate area doing the recording. He was getting the recorder stuff ready, which was, I don't think, was in the lab.
Oh, that's like a Dalek setup, and the lab is Max's.
I'm confused about where they are.
Jamie's gone rushing off to go save the princess.
And he hears screaming, and he's like, that's not ghosts, that's a human. And I'm like, Jamie, ghosts used to be human. I don't... That's not a distinct, like, it could be both.
That's not a ghost, that's an alive person.
You could tell by the sound of the scream.
That wasn't a ghost, that wasn't a dead person scream, that was a alive person scream. What's the difference? There's no difference.
Ghosts are like, woo.
Well, I'll give you this. Person screaming, not so alive anymore.
So, but then Jamie gets through the door.
Right, at this point, Jamie, like, runs towards the scream. He gets through the trap door and...
bumps into Kimmel. Him bumping into Kimmel's the end of the episode end. 3. And then we get into episode 4. I don't really have a good title. Wrestle test.
Toby is a dick and then he dies.
Turkish WrestleMania.
Test of the strong man.
I think this is the first episode that says that Kimmel's from Turkey.
Yeah, in the reconstruction that we watched, it frequently, I think before this point, frequently just refers to him as the Turk.
The Turk.
Even though he has a name.
It would go back and forth between the Turk and Kimmel.
Well, I only ever started hearing him being referred to as the Turk in this episode. I totally missed it in the first episode he was in.
Maybe I'm just misremembering, which is entirely possible. I don't have a great memory.
It's only the doctor that ever brought it up.
I think Maxible might have said something about him being Turkish.
Probably. I totally forgot because I was too busy being angry at him saying, oh, he's so strong, but he's dumb as a brick.
He's so rude. Yeah.
Which is not true, by the way. He totally destroys that in this episode.
Like, this is the part where it stops. I feel like it's... Well, I mean, they get in a fight. And after this fight's over is when it stops being...
He becomes
being
a delightful character.
Yeah, it stops being quite as problematic. Because they get in this big fight, which for me lasts far too long because I don't...
Because you can't see it, so it's not exciting.
I hate fight scenes in recons. You cannot tell what the hell's happening.
I do have to say, though, like, we kind of have to talk about this reconstruction.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, a lot of love went into it, to the point where it was almost a little distracting.
Are you talking about that picture of Jamie that keeps on popping up?
Oh my God, yes.
Joe, can you give a description of this picture that will do it justice? In words.
I'm just doing it.
He's just doing the face.
It's like his lower lip is like tucked back over his teeth and his upper teeth are exposed and he's just like making this grimace and sort of with the open mouth at the same time.
It's the goofiest face, but they use it like 20 times because it's like one of the only existing stills.
They keep on using it over and over and over again in other episodes.
There's one point where he's climbing up a rope in a later episode or later on in this episode.
I think it's at the end of this one.
Yeah.
And they just take that still and they throw a rope over it. And I lost it.
This reconstruction was totally just
bonkers.
They do that anytime anybody's holding a candle. They got that candle flame going to the point where it just cuts to a close-up and you just see the flame at the bottom of the screen for no reason.
But there are, like, whole rooms, like, lovingly 3D rendered.
Yeah, there's so much CGI.
And it's really good. I mean, okay, but have you ever, like, sat down and, like, tried to make a 3D model of something?
That's true.
It's really good.
They recreate the entire lab. And also, not only that, they also have refilmed stuff.
Which is a tiny bit creepy.
What recon did you watch? Because I didn't watch this one, and I want to.
You should.
They have CGI reconstructions of like the lab. They have when they're climbing up the rope.
Do you have the name?
What? It's just on Daily Motion.
But do you? Oh,
I don't know. It just said The Evil of Daleks. One.
I don't know. The one I had was just the telesnaps.
Oh, you're missing out.
I am missing out.
But they do that. They do the telesnaps. They do this random CGI. Like, the climbing up the rope is like a CGI Jamie and a CGI Kim.
Like, animated them climbing up the rope, which is, like an insane amount of work.
And some of it has, they, like, film stuff. I guess they got hold of a Dalek, and they filmed where they would, like, have, mostly it was Victoria, a little bit of the Doctor, but they just wouldn't show their faces. And sometimes it was, like, okay, but sometimes it's like very awkwardly framed so you do not see their faces, like when they're leading Victoria from place to place, or the scene where the Doctor gets onto the Daleks. Oh, the scene where the Doctor gets on the Dalek is CGI'd as well, when it's spinning around and all that stuff, which is at the end of like episode five, but that's way on. Like, but yeah, that stuff is all like recreated, like with CGI or like stand-ins. I don't know, but it's weird because you don't see their faces, and it's like very.
It's kind of you don't creepy. Really. It's kind of off-putting.
I don't think you would have seen Victoria's face in the scene where they were moving her through the corridor because her back was turned anyway.
Well, they did this like very like high up, looking down at like a doorway. Like, and she comes through it, but she's looking down, so you don't really see her face, so. But,
anyway.
Where were we?
In the episode.
So they fight. Jamie makes the dumb face. Kimmel falls out a window.
Oh, I was gonna say, at some point, Jamie's got, like, a door locked, and Kimmel's trying to get through it, and he does the, like, slapstick, opens the door, and he runs out and falls out the window, and he's got, like, one hand holding onto the windowsill.
And then Jamie left, and I was like, damn.
She's like, he just left. He's just gonna leave him there.
I thought he left Kimmel to die, and I was very upset. But then he comes back with a rope.
With rope. And he saves him. They have a very cute interaction.
And their friendship is born.
And then the Dalek drops this handkerchief.
Is that one of the things that was CGI?
It might have been.
Was that existing footage?
That doesn't need to be.
It was hilarious enough in just telesnaps.
It was excellent. The Dalek ever so gently drops this handkerchief on the floor and then scoots away. There's something about it that was delightful.
And then Jamie goes to pick it up. Kimmel shoves him out of the way because this big axe thing comes out. That was CGI'd.
I didn't see the CGI thing, but I did see the axe.
We kind of cut back to the Doctor and the Daleks who are watching all this happen. The Doctor is explaining, well, that's mercy. If you want the human factor, then you're getting mercy.
So then we get this scene.
Oh my God.
Where Max and Waterfield, maybe Terrell, I'm not sure, are getting rid of Toby's body.
Waterfield is like having an absolute breakdown. Like, you've killed a man. And the Daleks are like, yeah, totally. We do that all the time. I'm like, can you like, get this out of our way. Waterfield is like, you want me to dispose of a, like, a human body? Like,
how? What? Why? He was so confused and,
he was really just sort of devastated over the, like, loss of life.
He didn't want anybody to die.
And he almost gets killed because of it by Max.
I was gonna say, complete opposite of Max. I keep wanting to call him Maxwell. So that's why I shortened it to Max. Who like yeah, it's fine. Don't worry. Like it's
he's like
fine.
Getting really annoyed at like Waterfield's
for having emotions.
And he like pulls a gun on him and Terrell's like, "No, you can't do that. We need him or something."
What did they need him for anyway?
What did they need anyone for?
I know.
At all.
I think it was they needed that human factor to, you know, get the Dalek one later.
The Dalek factor.
Well, yeah, but now we have, like, Jamie and Kimmel bond, and we learn that Kimmel loves Victoria.
He pulls this press-dried flower out of his pocket that he's, like, folded into, like, a piece of paper, and he shows it to Jamie, and he's like, "Oh, Victoria gave that to you," and it's very cute. It's very really precious. Cute.
I approve of this ship.
And then later, the Daleks are, like, making Victoria come out of her room and scream her name very loudly so that Jamie can find her. To complete the test, I guess.
And she's like, "Why am I doing this? My name is Victoria Waterfield." What?
She's like, "You know my name." And the thing is, she does it at least twice. And so it's my assumption that they are just having her do it like every 10 minutes until he gets there.
I'd say around every half an hour or to an hour, and it's just taking a very long time for Jamie to get through this house.
He's actually completing the test really slowly. They thought he'd be much faster. She's calling out, and so they see her, and Jamie's like, "Hey, she's cute. You did good." it's just all good.
He should have known what she looked like. She looks exactly like her mother.
Like her mother. He saw the painting. Back with the body and with Waterfield and Max. Max does not help with the body at all, by the way.
He just stands over and gloats.
No, he totally leaves that to Waterfield, who's like having emotional problems with it. And Max, who doesn't care, is just like, I can't really be bothered. You take care of it.
Yeah, take the body out in the back and bury it.
But he's asking the Daleks, this is the first time this comes up, about the secret. He's like, "You know, I've kept my half of the bargain. Don't forget your half. You need to give me the secret." And at this point you're like, what the hell does that mean?
The secret, he says it at the end. I think this is the episode that I really did not like Max bullying.
Yes, because yeah, he's an idiot.
But
the one of the Daleks has this line that's like, "The Daleks have a lot of secrets, the Daleks know a lot of secrets, and you're gonna learn the most important one," and then leaves. He's like, well, that's not good.
That sounds very ominous.
That's clearly not good.
It's also, to the Daleks' point of view, very true.
Yeah. We learn the secret because he tells it to his daughter.
Yeah, because, like, Ruth's like, "What's going on? What's happening here?" And he's like, "Hey, you know how, like...
have you heard of alchemy?
I'm going to turn metal into gold!
Transmutation is mine. Or will be."
That is, like, the worst motivation ever. I was so offended.
It was idiotic. Oh, my God.
And I know that's, like, the point. Like, he's a bad... you don't like this character. He's a bad character because he's greedy and, like, that's the point of him.
I don't like his character. But I don't think he's a bad character. I just think he's totally insane.
I mean,
he's fun to watch.
Yeah, I like his character, but I like it only so much as I hate him.
Right. Bad as in he is not a good person.
Yes.
not bad as in he is poorly written. Well, it varies.
This episode, it definitely varies. I did not like him at all in any way, shape, or form in this episode.
Like, of all the things, like, you have, like, an advanced civilization who's like, "Hey, help us out." And, like, of all the things you could ask for, that's so useless.
Also, wouldn't the price of gold, like, plummet if you just keep on selling everything gold?
It would not be precious anymore. My note about Max says, "Max makes a deal with evil murdering trash cans for gold like a dumbass."
That's very true. But then Jamie and Kimmel destroy a Dalek, which it took me forever to figure out
how they
what
did it.
They had done exactly.
Didn't they state what they did in the next episode? Which is a good thing, because otherwise I would have had no idea what they did.
But, so what Jamie and Kimmel did was they threw a thing for the Dalek to, like, move. Like, "Hey, what was that?
What was that sound?"
And then they pull him with a rope next to this, like, fire?
Yeah,
thing.
They use...
it's a fireplace. It's a,
They throw him into the fireplace and the Dalek explodes.
This, for us, was CGI, and it just, like, slowly bumps into the wall.
No, for me, it made no sense whatsoever. I just saw an explosion and the rope going around the Dalek, and thinking, what the hell? They threw a rope around the Dalek and it just exploded.
For us, it was like the rope went around the Dalek and then slowly pulled it against the wall, and when it bumped the wall,
it exploded.
Very slowly, mind you. It was like...
like a car exploding and in a crash going 5 miles an hour.
Oh my god, it's like every action movie ever, but with Daleks.
Then they throw the rope up to the balcony where they saw Victoria.
How did they tie the rope? I will never get that. How did it stay up there? Did they use it as a grappling hook or something? What?
Maybe.
I think there was something hooked onto the rope.
They used something as a grappling
hook. Probably. Yeah. Totally. Sure. Totally.
Or, Kimmel would have totally made that up, by the way. Not Jamie. That was Kimmel.
They could have just thrown it and then, like, got both ends, and one of them held one end. Which, it was a very long rope, but I don't know.
By the way, throughout all of this, we're kind of cutting back to the doctor, and the doctor's, like, very explaining.
He's like, this is the subtext of this scene.
There's one point where they're both in there. Kimmel's like, I'm going to draw off, you know, all the bad guys, and you can go rescue Victoria. And Jamie's like, no, because...
That's stupid.
You'd get dead.
Kimmel totally thought of this great, brilliant plan. And Jamie's like, nah, we're not doing that. It's stupid and suicidal and we both need to be up there just in case.
But the doctor's like, see, that's the human thing, is survival. And like, throughout all of the like testing, it's like cutting back to the doctor and the doctor's like, this is what's happening. This is what humans are like, just in case you're missing
the point of this scene
at all.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you it.
Also, humans have 5 senses. Let's forget about all the others.
And also instinct.
Yes, and instinct.
So the doctor says Jamie used instinct to avoid the door, which, as you pointed out, is not entirely true.
I thought he used instinct to avoid a ball or something that was falling from the ceiling, another trap. I don't remember that either. There was one trap that I missed completely, and I only got it as a trap because the doctor stated there was a trap and Jamie dodged it because of instinct. I'm like, what trap?
I thought that was door.
No, it was. There was another like button you pressed on the wall and something came out. Yeah, it wasn't
not the
door.
Axe.
Not the axe.
There was something else?
It was like a giant wishing ball or something.
Yeah, as soon as they like team up, they're dodging traps left and right.
Gotcha.
They're very bad traps.
Yeah, and like, most of it's like, you have to accidentally press a button on a wall.
Yeah, he was just walking past something and like, I'm going to touch this bit of inconspicuous wall right here because it's a trap. Instinct! That's instinct for you.
But they climb up to the balcony. Kimmel's climbing up and the rail is breaking. But he gets up there. They both get up there, but then a Dalek shows up. And that's the end of episode 4. And now we're on to episode 5. The humanity of the Daleks.
Oh, nice.
But then they push the Dalek over the railing.
Over the railing. And it explodes, too.
Yeah, because those things are just prone to explode.
They're just highly combustible.
It's like an action movie. Everything explodes when it hits the ground.
Just bump into something. But then they go into Victoria's room, and then they're like, we've rescued you. Blockade this door. We've rescued you, but now we're also sort of stuck in
here. We don't actually know how to get out of this room.
Yeah, and Victoria's like, hey, thanks.
Great rescue.
Kimmel, my love.
Aww. They're reunited. My next note says Santa's a robot, which I assume is a reference to Arthur.
Oh, Terrell, yeah.
Why did you call him Santa?
Because that's a thing Donna Noble says.
Oh, okay. Because the doctor's going around and he confronts Terrell and he's like, you don't eat or drink. We've never seen you eat or drink. What are you, a TV character?
Never once seen you use the bathroom.
Yeah.
No, I especially like that the doctor was actually drinking this.
Oh, was it? I didn't even notice.
I think it was like scotch or whiskey. It could have been water, but I like to think he was totally drinking the alcohol. It's like, here's to a job well done.
Terrell has a sword, and like the doctor touches it with his screwdriver, and he's like, it's magnetic. And like, is he a robot? What's happening? I don't...
But he's not a robot.
No, it's the box on him that's controlling him that the Daleks... implanted on his collar, was it?
Yeah.
So, like, the mind control makes you magnetized and also not need to eat.
It makes no sense, but hey, you gotta remember that it was unstable and Terrell kept on breaking out of it. He probably ate and drank then.
There's even a scene where Maxwell's like, that's not his name! Where Maxwell's like, I told them that wouldn't work. I told them it was a shitty design.
But there's a scene where Terrell is trying to drink, and then, like, you hear, like, the voice in his head saying, like, I don't remember what.
Obey.
But, yeah, obey, obey. And he can't drink, which I don't know why they don't want him to drink. They want Victoria to eat everything.
He still has
a human body. I think they didn't want him to drink because it would totally short out the collar box thing that was which makes no sense, but, you know, Daleks.
It's static. Woo!
It would totally wreck the connection here.
Well, then we find out Victoria has memory loss because she was drugged, and they're like, it has to be somebody that you knew.
That you knew.
No, she wasn't drugged. She was hypnotized.
Yeah, because that's what we learn next, is that Max is hypnotizing Molly.
Poor Molly.
Which at this point, when it started, I was like, do we have room for hypnotism in this episode?
I don't know. I like the addition of hypnotism until the last episode.
I don't know. At this point, I was like, I don't know what is happening now. Everything has gone off the rails.
I liked how it was actually hypnotism and that Victoria wasn't drugged. Because the whole drug things means that she was just nothing but a screaming damsel in distress. At least with hypnotism, she at least had a way to try and fight and just couldn't. I'm trying to give Victoria totally, like, the benefit of the doubt here.
All right, I'll buy it for that.
Why is Max hypnotizing Molly?
She was out in the halls when she wasn't supposed to be because she was helping Jamie. She heard Victoria shouting out her name. And she also heard the scream of Toby, who's dead.
And so he's like, don't worry about it.
You'll forget all this. And if you don't, you'll have terrible nightmares. You'll regret it.
Also, was he not hypnotizing her with, like, a thing of gold?
I think it was just a watch or something that he was, you know, hypnotizing things with.
Because I remember being like, this dude has a serious motif. He needs to calm
down.
Well,
there was clocks at the beginning of this thing, too.
He also has a serious beard. I will never get over that guy's beard.
I've got a thing here that says I think somebody tried to attack the doctor, but the doctor's like, no, you can't do that.
I don't know, because I have something that says the doctor is scary and it's awesome.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, someone tries to attack him and he like easily cuts that shit out, and he's like,
talks them out of it by being terrifying.
I think it was Terrell, and he goes on about how he's not a student of human nature, he's a philosopher of like all life forms or something. I can't remember the direct quote.
He picks up that bar, the bar that Kimmel bent, and like goes to attack the doctor with it, and like the doctor like,
takes it and bends it himself, doesn't he?
I don't know if he bends it himself.
Oh, he just.
But yeah, he just takes it from him and is like, no.
No, that's not happening.
No, you're not going to do this today. You're not going to attack me. I think he just, like, takes it out of his grip and just stares.
Yeah, it was pretty badass. That's all I remember. I remember a badassness happening.
It wasn't Terrell, it was Waterfield.
Waterfield attacked the doctor. Yeah, why?
Waterfield attacked the doctor?
I think it was just him just losing it, and then he doesn't attack because he's just not a bad guy.
Yeah, he's like, you're not helping my daughter, you're helping the Daleks.
It's all about him trying to save his daughter.
And then he's just like, hey, you guys, this is a long con. Calm down. They start melting the doors, the Daleks do, the doors that Jamie and Kimmel have blockaded.
There's definitely a point where, like, Jamie and Victoria are talking about it, and they're like, that doesn't make any sense. Why are they doing that? Like, it's said out loud by them.
The Daleks don't make a lot of good decisions.
Kimmel and Jamie are, like, stacking things up against the door. Why?
It's mostly Kimmel because he's strong. Jamie and Kimmel are watching the door while it's being melted. And then, like, a secret, like, painting or something opens up and Terrell kidnaps Victoria and runs out.
I like how after the door closes, she totally bites his hand and then screams out for Jamie.
Yeah, and then they come and then, like, Terrell and Jamie get in a fight.
This is where the box is taken off. Totally sword fight that you can't see.
People are getting kidnapped and held captive, like, multiple times, but it's all happening in, like, the same really big house.
That's a hell of a house. It's huge. Is it, like, a mansion or a manor or what?
It is bigger on the inside.
Yeah, it was definitely that. Wait, don't you get a picture of what it actually looks like on the outside at one stage?
I think so.
So all I keep on thinking of is the house from Dark Shadows.
Well, that fits the haunted theme. He takes the device off of Terrell.
Well, the Doctor and Janie meet up.
Well, I'm trying to remember why the Doctor and Waterfield ran into that room. I don't even think Waterfield ran into that room. It was just the Doctor. I can't remember why.
I don't know either. He just sort of showed up.
What I do remember is that the Doctor, like, puts his hand on Jamie's arm, and Jamie's like, "Don't touch me."
Oh.
And I was like, oh, no.
Love is spat.
He's so mad.
He's so pissed off at the Doctor.
And he truly has every right to be. He's been being manipulated and lied to, and he doesn't really know what's going on. But from, like, you know, his perspective, the Doctor's just helping the Daleks.
And Waterfield, who's helping the Dalek.
They have a huge argument where Jamie's basically like,
"You don't care.
When this is over, I'm done with you. I can't trust you."
And then the Doctor's all like, "Do you really honestly believe that?" And Jamie says in this small voice, "I don't know." Bless him.
He doesn't know what to believe.
You can tell the ship is here, can't you?
Something happens to Victoria. I don't remember what.
I think she ran off in the opposite direction, and I think Terrell might have followed her and knocked her out.
I think they don't know where she is, but they tell Terrell that she's fine once he's, like, come out of his robo-coma. And they're like, it's like, she's fine. And then Jamie's like, "No, she's not." And he's like, "Yes, well, we're going to have to turn that lie into a truth."
I like how it was Ruth that was put in charge of getting everything ready for her, Molly, and Terrell to leave. Because at some stage during this episode, you find out that Terrell is the fiancé of Ruth. Ruth totally ends up, like, getting him out of Dodge. Instead of the other way around. It was nice to see that the woman was put in charge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Okay, so Victoria's knocked out. Kimmel comes and finds Victoria, but a Dalek finds them, and then the Dalek takes both of them.
And put them in the, I think it was, I kept calling it the cupboard, but it's the not cupboard.
Like, that's where the Daleks are, like, stay. It's their, like, their little area.
What is that thing? I did not get a good look at it at all.
I don't know, but, like, in our version, there's CGI doors that swing open and shut all the time. I don't know, maybe, like, a pantry or something.
I kept on calling it a cupboard. It's not, but...
I'm fine with cupboard. I call people by their physical attributes. This, like, "Oh, hey, it's sideburns." Like, I can't remember names of things. So, yeah, water-filled sideburns. Got beardy guy.
With the top hat.
And Terrell is robo guy.
Without ridiculous hat.
Then the Doctor has the human element.
It's so good, you guys. It's so good.
He puts it into some Daleks.
Three Daleks, yeah.
Three. And the thing kind of, like, opens up and there are Daleks there and Jamie's like, "I'm gonna fight him." And the Doctor's like, "Don't fight them. This is great.
They're friends."
And the Daleks, you guys. They're
like little children.
They're adorable Daleks.
They're like the three cutest Daleks ever.
They, like, pick the Doctor up and are pushing him around, which is like, Daleks can't actually do that, so really the Doctor just sort of steps on them.
They're playing a game.
They're playing trains.
Which, by the way, we're now into episode 6, The Game of the Daleks.
The three Daleks, and they're just zooming around, and they're going, "Trains, trains!" And then they start spinning around in circles.
And they got the Doctor on him, on one of them, and he's like, "I'm getting dizzy!"
Dizzy Doctor!
It's so cute!
Oh.
It's so weird seeing the Daleks being cute.
And the Doctor explains that they're basically children, but they'll age very quickly.
He tells them that Jamie's their friend, and then he names them all. Alpha, Beta, and Omega. Omega. He pronounced it very weird. I've never heard it pronounced that way. He didn't say Omega. He said, like, I don't know. Maybe it's a British pronunciation, but...
Omega?
Yeah, I don't know. It sounded odd to me.
He said Beta instead of Beta. And I'm thinking, what, are they fighting fish?
So that's going to be important later-ish. But yeah, he draws their name on them as well.
The Doctor's like, "What is that?" And the Doctor's like, "That's your name." And they're like, "What name?" And he tells them what each of their names are, and they repeat it. They're like, "Alpha, Beta, Omega." They like their names. They're proud.
It's so cute. They're the first named Daleks.
And then they're like, "Well, we got to go to Skaro now." And he's like, "Wait, what?" And they're like, "Yeah, we got all Daleks need have to go back to Skaro." So, and then there's this box on the floor.
Oh, God. Don't they call it a time bomb? All I kept on doing was thinking back to Dalek's Master Plan. I was getting Dalek Master Plan and Mission to the Unknown mixed in together.
They're the same thing.
truth.
But so, yeah, they're like, there's this box and like Maximal's trying to mess with it and they're like, leave it alone.
He's like, what is it? Tell me what it is. Why is it here in his lab?
And he's like, oh, it's a, they're eventually like, oh, it's a bomb. Bye.
And he's like, you're gonna blow my lab. No.
Trusting murderous trash cans was a bad idea. Huh.
He still trusts them, which is an idiotic thing to do because they blow up his lab.
We still have a whole episode to go. And in that whole episode, he's like, no, the Daleks are gonna do right by me.
They will give me this transmutation formula. I don't have a lab anymore, but hey.
Basically, everybody escapes by going through the double-decker staplers.
Yeah, they use the time machine. It makes no sense because how did that move through space only? It's a time machine.
Well, I mean, it could work. Just it does space and time, and this time they just use space. I don't know.
There's a space setting, and there's a time setting, and there's a space and time setting.
Then they could have went forward in time as well.
Space and time got a bit confused somewhere along the way.
They basically all wind up on Skaro, and then the lab explodes.
Like a second before they do. Timing.
It's always got to be last second.
I know.
Always. Then we see like Kimmel and Victoria are sort of together. And Kimmel's taking care of her.
They have adorable. A great scene where Victoria's like, don't worry, I'll protect you. No worries.
And he's like, I can protect myself, girl. I'll protect you. And she's like, oh, yes, of course. How silly of me. And I'm like, yes.
Like, they're gonna look after each other.
Kimmel's proving that he's not some dumb idiot. Every step of the way.
I like them so much. It makes me sad what happens, but they're cute. So they're in Skaro, but like the Doctor, Waterfield, and Jamie. Because Waterfield caught Maximal talking shit with the Daleks, like, you know, being on his team. And then he's like, you're just interested in your own self and, you know, gold and not interested in my daughter. They get in a fight and they get split up. But the Doctor, Jamie, and Waterfield are outside of the city, and they're gonna storm in. I don't know why they couldn't have just started in the city.
That's not where the giant staplers took them, obviously.
It wasn't perfectly calibrated.
The settings were slightly off.
And then this is where, like, Maxtable gets a new outfit.
I love that outfit!
He's, like, wearing a trench coat and a hat. I didn't recognize him for, like, too long. And he's, like, pissed. He's like, what's going on? Why are you guys not giving me my
secret?
You destroyed my lab and you're not giving me the gold thing. Give me my gold.
He keeps being like, I held up my end of the bargain. I did things. I rendered services that need to be paid for. And the Daleks are just like, you obeyed because that's what you do. And he's still not getting it.
He's very good at obeying. I'll give you that.
Yeah, because they take him to this thing and they're like, Max, we need you to come in here for a second. And then he makes like some weird screaming noises. But they make him scream. Then they make Victoria scream. First you're like, oh, did they die? Did they kill Maxtable?
No, they were just getting him to scream. I hated that. It's like, oh, we're just going to make you scream really loudly so that the other humans can hear you.
And it works because they get caught by the Daleks.
And yet nobody can hear them, even though they're like shouting and making a shit ton of noise. Especially Jamie, because that's what Jamie does.
Jamie and the Doctor and Waterfield get taken by the Daleks to this, like, what I'm calling the Uber Dalek. Is it the Emperor Dalek? Yeah. Which looks like a giant Dalek with, like, octopus tubes coming out. Yeah.
He has the big balls. His Dalek bumps there are huge.
Oh, and this is when, like, they're talking to him, and the Doctor is talking to the Emperor Dalek, and at one point, really quickly, like, turns to Jamie and goes, when I say run, run. And then goes back to talking to the Emperor. I like that. But then they find out what the ultimate plan is, which is now that they know what the human factor is, they can extrapolate what the Dalek factor is and then just use that to make humans Daleks.
Does this remind anybody else of Daleks Take Manhattan and Evolution of Daleks? You know how they extrapolate and put Dalek DNA into all the humans.
Except this episode's better.
This episode is better. This one's much better.
We just listened to an Eighth Doctor audio as well called The Blood of the Daleks, and it has a similar thing too, where they mix human DNA and
Out of the
DNA.
Three, Blood of the Daleks is the best.
That's true. Well, it has Hayley Atwell in it, so you can't go wrong there. It's like, that's the third time I've seen it, and every one of them is better than the Daleks Take Manhattan. That was just really bad.
I think anything could be better than that, Mr. Penis Face.
But they're going to put the Dalek factor into people, and they want the Doctor to take his TARDIS and spread it throughout all of history.
We've sort of skipped over a scene. They're outside the city, and they're, like, climbing through whatever they're climbing through to get to the city. They, like, meet a Dalek, and the Dalek's like, hey, I'm Omega. I'm one of your Daleks, and I'm going to follow me. And the Doctor, like, checks the mark, and it's not the right mark. So doesn't he just sort of, like, pick it up and, like, toss it over the cliff?
Yeah, they're on this ledge thing. Steel wall on one side and, like, a huge-ass drop on the other.
Because the Daleks met one of the other Daleks.
Yeah, the Daleks ran into Omega.
And they're like, what's that? And he's like, it's my name. I'm a friend of the Doctor. And so then they use that to trick the
Doctor.
Yeah, I am your friend. I like the way they talk.
They're very cute. Friend.
Friend.
But he just scoops it up and, like, throws it over. It explodes because all of these Daleks are very explosive.
The Doctor goes off because, like, don't they think I don't know my own mark? I'm thinking you could tell just by the way it was talking that it wasn't the real one.
There is a slight difference, but it's very
They're more
noticeable.
Childlike, and the words are longer.
And more high-pitched and, yes. Like, happier.
They put emotion into their voices.
But, yeah, that's the Emperor Dalek's plan, is to have the Doctor take the Dalek factor and spread it with his TARDIS throughout all of human history, making them Daleks, and yay.
Which, they tell the Doctor this and then sort of, like, return him back to his cell.
He's like, that's fine, I just won't land on Earth anymore. Let's go to another universe!
Like, maybe I can just take you guys to a different... And they have a conversation about the Doctor not being human, and maybe he can take him back to his planet. Mm. And it's making me wonder, when do we get into Time Lord stuff?
Well, by the end of this serial, I mean, this Doctor, right?
Probably. Because 3 definitely has Time Lord stuff.
It definitely comes into Time Lord stuff in the War Games. You know he has an actual species, but it has no name yet. Because the planet hasn't got a name, so Gallifreyan doesn't exist. And the Time Lords haven't been named, but you know they do exist.
I feel like there's a little while there where I'm not sure if they were saying so much that he was a different species, just... From the future.
From the future when people live on different planets.
It was left totally ambiguous whether or not he was or wasn't human.
And he's referred to as human, even by himself, a couple of times.
I think mostly he does that to just throw people off, because people just like, oh, human, You're not smart, you're not good, you're not anything special, you're just human.
You're just human, ugh.
What can a human do?
Apparently Although enough that the Daleks want
are
the...
scared of him. But, like, the whole point of this episode is the Daleks being like, we've literally never been able to defeat humanity, ever.
And guess what? They still won't.
Never will.
Ha, suck it, Dalek.
And now we're in the last episode of the season, I might add, the Dalek Factor. And we get a return of something I enjoy, which is the recorder. The recorder returns.
I like how he uses the recorder
to think.
Yeah, because they're all in a cell. He's like, what am I going to do?
They tell the Doctor their plan and then just sort of, like, put him back in the cell. And he's like, their plan doesn't make any sense. And he's talking to Victoria about it, where he's like, there's nothing that could motivate me to do this. He's like, truthfully, not even the, like, what, 5 people who are in the cell with me. Like, I would let every single one of you die before I would do this.
I like how Victoria actually completely 100% agrees. She's like, oh yeah, I'll totally die if it's saving, like, the entire world.
It's not even, like, a conflict. She's like, yeah, that's fair. That makes sense.
I thought that was an awesome Victoria moment.
But he's trying to figure out, like, they must have something, because clearly I'm not going to just do it.
That's when he starts going on about how he'll take them to another universe or his own planet. Which is silly, because right at the start, he was exiled from his own planet. He can't go back. Has he ever said that yet on 2? Because he said it several times with 1.
Not sure.
No, I don't think 2 really has made much mention back to his home planet at all. I think this is one of the first mentions of it we get at all. They give Maxtable the secret he wanted so bad, but it's only as an excuse to, like, trick him through this doorway.
And everybody was telling him, don't be an idiot, don't go through the doorway. And he's like, gold!
But I need gold!
Oh god, that gold thing annoys the hell out of me.
Basically, they've turned Max into a Dalek, Maxtable, and their plan is to have Maxtable hypnotize the Doctor into also being a Dalek.
To hypnotize him to trick him through the doorway. which, again, is fairly convoluted.
And also doesn't work.
Yeah, but they forgot one important fact. The Doctor's not exactly human.
I've got a note here that says, the Doctor lies, because he pretends to be, a Dalek.
A Dalek. And it's terrifying. It's immediately super, super terrifying.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, shit.
He totally does a good job with it, too.
And the idea of, like, the Doctor being a Dalek is so hopeless.
Yeah.
You're like, well, we're screwed now.
In the last episode you watched of 12 was into the Dalek. Nice.
There's also this idea of, like, 12 wanting there to be a good Dalek. And in this episode, he kind of made them. And we haven't gotten to it yet, but he makes more. And again, he said that they're essentially, like, children when they're born. I mean, you know, when you put the human factor in them.
Yeah, it's like totally rebooting them.
So he makes all these Dalek children and then sends them to war.
Yeah.
And that's kind of awful.
Here's another one of the Doctor totally doing genocide on purpose of Daleks again. That's one thing that really annoys me about 10. How he's like, I would never do this, I would never do that, I would never, 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 never. And he's done it so many times before, he's a total hypocrite.
Yeah.
But that's what he does. The Doctor switches out the capsule that has the Dalek factor and swaps it for the Jamie factor. And then, like, the Daleks are going through it and turning into good Daleks. They're getting, you know, yeah, and like you said, he leads them off to war, and then...
Basically, they're, like, getting orders, and they're like, why? Because they're children.
I love how they question everything with, why?
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 And then pretty much everything just sort of starts going to shit.
I mean, he basically convinces, he tells the Emperor Dalek, he's like, I've started a revolution. There will be none of you left.
And the Emperor Dalek's like, nope, I've got the Dalek factor, man. That worked well.
Then, like, a whole bunch of stuff starts going down. Like, Waterfield says he's going to stay behind, and I don't know what his reasoning was.
To die.
Yeah, he felt so guilty over those two men's deaths. He was going to hand himself in to the police when he got back. His life was basically over anyway. He would have been put in jail for, like, the rest of his life. Or killed, because Victorian time.
And that's what's going to happen anyway. Okay, so, like, the Daleks are attacking, and, like, he throws his coat over one, and he, like, saves the day, but then he gets exterminated anyway.
He chucked a Rory. He got in the way of, and pushed the Doctor out of the way of being exterminated himself.
The good Daleks, the Doctor sort of convinces them to attack. He's like, you make your own choice, but, you know, my choice is pretty good.
Attack the Emperor, or the Emperor will kill you.
They storm the room with the Emperor Dalek, and the Emperor Dalek is like, do not fight in here! Do not fight in here!
When the good Daleks are, like, first figuring out how much shit they're in, where, like, they're going, why? And, like, the other Dalek's like, don't question orders, and they're like, but why? Because they're five. But the other Dalek just straight up, like, shoots it, and it's like, whoa! What?!
And the Doctor's like, you gotta defend yourself.
But, like, it makes this terrible, like, scream of just, like, shock. It's, like, in pain and shocked. Like, what? Why would you do that? What the hell?
It's like killing children for fun.
And then the city basically explodes.
For no reason! It doesn't even explode! It explodes in parts that the fighting wasn't even taking place in!
There's one where, like a Dalek gets shot and, like, the top blows off of it, and there's just, like, goo inside?
That was a reconstruction thing, but yeah.
It was weird, and I put it in my notes because I was like, that was odd.
That was a recon thing, because I had that.
But then the worst thing happens. Maxtable gets in a fight with Kimmel and shoves him off a ledge, and Kimmel falls to his death.
I'm pretty sure I flipped off the screen when this happened. I was so mad. It's like, how dare you?
There was literally no reason to kill Kimmel. None. No.
I think the only reason why I killed Kimmel was because he could.
Makes me so angry.
It took me forever to realize that it was because he was actually hypnotized, and that's why he automatically went, because he wouldn't have gone any other way. There's no way he would have went. He would have stayed with his love and Jamie, his best friend.
And I feel like it's just like, we're going to have one new companion, who's Victoria, which I didn't realize she was going to be a companion until, like, right there at the end. And, like, they didn't want to have him as a companion, too.
They would have had a great dynamic, the three of them.
It just makes me so angry.
I think they just threw him off the ledge because he couldn't speak, but he was so full of life, and he was smart. I mean, he was naturally, you know, Turkish. He had to learn English at some stage. He's bilingual. He just can't speak the words. He can write English, which means he not only understands it, but can put it down in words.
How much of that is, like, TARDIS, though?
He did that without going anywhere near TARDIS.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It's all him. It has nothing to do with the TARDIS. Could you imagine that, though? I can imagine the TARDIS actually, like, doing the telepathic thing, so that, like, he had a telepathic voice, so you could actually hear what he was thinking. That would have been cool.
See? There's so much they could have done. It's a tragedy that they got rid of Kimmel.
But then the Doctor has this totally false and ineffective monologue.
Like, it's the final end of the Daleks.
The final end! We'll never hear from them ever again.
The end of the Daleks forever.
Forever. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
They destroyed one city of Daleks. But all the Daleks were destroyed. On Skaro.
That's it. That's the end of the evil of the Daleks.
And I feel like Jamie and the Doctor haven't really repaired their relationship at all.
A little bit.
I mean, a little bit. Like, the Jamie's, you know, seen that he was, you know, working along Khan all along, but that doesn't fix everything.
I think Victoria helps.
Fight of the arts!
I really liked it. Oh, it's much better than Evolution and Daleks Take Manhattan, which is practically the same story as this, but this one came first, so shove it. It introduces the Dalek Emperor, who was a big thingy in New Who. It introduces a new companion. Badly, but it introduces her. It gave us Carol, who is much loved. I liked most of the characters. I loved Molly. She got kind of fridged. I didn't like Maxtable as a person, but I liked him as a character. I liked Waterfield the entire way through. I thought he was hilarious when it was all a mystery, and you think like he's this killer because of the dead people, and he's totally working with the Daleks for his like own gain, and then it totally turns out that he's not, and that ended up being Maxwell. I just felt really, really sorry for him and just wanted to hug him. And I loved the Daleks that had the human factor. That was so cute. They are like the cutest thing, and I ship to Jamie. And nothing will ever change that.
Like most seven-parters, I think there's a possibility that just maybe is a little bit too long. There's some, like, random stuff that doesn't necessarily make sense or even work that just kind of gets dropped or is, like, really made a point of that there's no reason for it. There's a, you know, the painting. She looks just like her mom.
Toby entirely.
Yeah, Toby's entire existence.
Why the hell Maxible changed his clothes?
The way they left clues to get them there. Like, there's a lot of...
Why they even just didn't just start it in Victorian.
Victorian. Yeah.
You could have just had it with the Skaro parts and would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think this is a really good episode that showcases, like, how manipulative and dark the doctor is.
Can be.
I heard there was some discussion about how, like, whether or not the Doctor is, like, cuddly and fun and whether or not he's, like, dark and manipulative. And somebody was like, guys, he's always been both.
He has always been both. It's just him.
He's always been both forever. They're both equally him. He just he uses either side as he needs it. And this was I feel like this was a particularly good showcase of it. He creates these, like, baby Daleks that are cute and children, and he's, like, so happy about it. They're playing games, and he's like, look, they're Dalek, they're playing games, and they have a sense of humor.
He's so proud of himself for that.
He's like a dad. And then he makes a whole bunch of them and sends them off to war with, like, the full knowledge that they're going to die because he wants the Daleks to be destroyed. And that's awful.
I think they would have been destroyed anyway, and he knew that. He just kind of told them, it's either go try and destroy these Dalek Emperor, or you're gonna die.
And there's certainly, like, truth to that, but it's all very manipulative. I like Kimmel a lot. I like the secondary characters in this were great.
Except for Toby and
Kennedy.
Toby and Kennedy were the same character?
Yeah, they really were.
They were only there to steal things and then get dead.
I think Kennedy was a step slightly up for Toby.
Because, like, at least Kennedy sort of made sense. Toby made no sense.
No, there was no... It didn't make sense that he was even there.
Why did he even have a name?
That's an excellent question.
Oh my, he was that useless to the plot. I'm amazed he wasn't just some nameless person in the background. He could have just been called Two-Bit Thief.
If we had been watching this over, like, a period of months, you know, as they came out, I probably wouldn't have such a big problem with, like, there's stuff in here that doesn't need to be in here, and there's stuff in here that is weird, because you just wouldn't remember it.
Right.
You would just forget the parts that were irrelevant. But sitting down and watching, trying to watch 7 episodes of something, and trying to watch as fast as we can, because we have to record an episode soon, you notice that stuff a lot more, and it feels a lot longer. So that's not necessarily fair, but I will say that, like, the first 3 or 4 episodes we watched, we got to the end and I was like, oh, it's over.
They had a really good pace.
Yeah.
Some of the episodes
did. You got to the end and you're like, cool, now do the next one. I want to see what happens next.
I like when a recon can reel you in like that, because it just means that it's a really good story with strong characters.
Absolutely, yeah.
I like the story. I like the characters. I do feel like it's a little long. I don't feel like it needed to start in the 60s. I think it could have started in Victorian England. I still enjoyed it a lot. I loved Kimmel so much, considering he had a problematic beginning and a problematic ending. Everything in the middle was really good.
He was a great character who was not treated fairly.
Victoria, I have no opinions about, really. I mean, she seems nice. I'm excited we got a new companion. I did not realize she was going to be a companion.
They didn't spend a lot of time setting up her character.
They spent more time setting up Kimmel.
Which is what they did to Jamie.
But yeah, I liked it a lot. This was the first season finale that actually felt like a season finale.
Yeah.
Not just like a normal episode that has a tacked on like ending of like, and we travel through time and space. Isn't that cool?
This is how you know it's a season finale.
Their faces are giant in space. That's how you know it's a finale.
Yeah.
This is the first one that feels like an actual finale, because you got like the Daleks and it's like a big finale.
It's a huge climax that just ends.
So I enjoyed that aspect about it. I enjoyed going back to Skaro. I enjoyed the Emperor Dalek. A lot of stuff I enjoyed. So all in all, I think this was a good serial.
Yeah.
And I love Jamie. I love Jamie and Sue. And I love seeing the sort of darker aspects of the Doctor, and them getting into a fight was emotionally satisfying and interesting to watch.
Tomb of the Cybermen is next, isn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Next time it's going to be Tomb of the Cybermen. We're going to have special guest Vincent E.L. on that one. We have the DVD from the library.
Vince is on that?
Yeah.
I thought Ben Padden had all Cyberman stories ever.
That's true, but Vince gets ones that exist.
I just get the ones that introduce things. Victoria, the Emperor Dalek, human Dalek hybrids, big thing.
And a finale. You got a lot of good things.
There's a lot going on here.
Anything you want to plug or anything before we end this episode?
Go visit my Tumblr at malicerewatchesdoctorwho@tumblr.com.
I approve. I like it. What I really like that you do is you break things down into, was it likes, dislikes?
Awesome and shitty.
Awesome and shitty. Yes, I love the shitty column. Shitty's my favorite column.
Most of the shitty in this one is it's a recon, and it was a bad quality recon that I watched. And yet it was still totally watchable because of how good the actual story and characters were.
Thanks for listening. If you like what you hear, you can follow us on watchyourasslon.com. That's our Tumblr. You can follow us on Twitter at watchyourass. And if you want to help us out, you can go to watchyourasslon.com/support, where there's a link to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/watchathon. You can donate money, and there's all sorts of cool rewards, like you can watch along with us as we watch the episodes, which Melissa does.
Yep.
You can watch unedited podcast records like this one. We also have an Amazon wish list. If you want to sponsor an episode, there's a list of DVDs you can get us, and you'll sponsor that serial, and we'll mention you in the podcast, the top and the bottom of it, and we'll put you on the website under Friends of Rassilon. There's lots of cool things you can do. Join us next time for Tomb of the Cybermen.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Keep calm and Rassilon.